The Coosa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
CBS News Brief. President Trump sealed the deal on a preliminary trade agreement with the European Union.
I think this deal will bring us very close together, actually. Sort of, it's a partnership in a sense.
He spoke at his golf course in Turnberry, Scotland. Israel says it'll pause fighting daily to allow food deliveries into Gaza. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
Gaza's misery has shocked the world. Widespread hunger. And international medical agencies say children, especially the poorest and those with special needs, are suffering from acute malnutrition.
Officials in Traverse County, Michigan, say they plan to file terrorism and assault with intent to murder charges in a knife attack that wounded 11 shoppers at a Walmart. Sheriff Mike Shea.
Mr. Gilley's history shows prior assaultive incidents as well as controlled substance violations. A motive has not yet been determined.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. As far as episodic TV goes, nothing gets me more excited than a well-done cop show. There have been two spinoffs so far from the Amazon Prime cop show Bosch, a show about a stubborn, uncompromising police detective played by Titus Welliver. In a new cop show, Welliver heads up the cast in Westies. According to Collider, Welliver plays Glenn Keenan, a Vietnam vet and gritty beat cop. The story is set in the early 80s in Hell's Kitchen in New York and follows the Westies, a real-life Irish street gang, as they try to carve out a piece of the action despite being a much smaller force than the Mafia's five families of New York. Welliver calls his character deeply corrupt and very dark, but also nuanced. Joining him in the cast are J.K. Simmons, Tom Brittany, Jessica Francis Duke, and just added additions Sarah Bulger and Stanley Morgan. The Westies will drop on MGM Plus sometime in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Cubs and the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Cubs and the Brewers come into tonight's game at AmFam Field, tied for first place in the division. On the mound for Chicago, lefty Matthew Boyd against the Miz. 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski, Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff.
This kid throws 102. Like, if I was him, I wouldn't be scared of nothing. You know, he deserves a lot of the hype he's getting because, I mean, he's just, you don't see pitchers like him. I think he's not going to approach it any different than any other game. He's getting ready for the Cubs, and yeah, he's been thrown into these atmospheres a little bit. He just goes about his day like any other day, and he'll be ready.
NFL Packers training camp, players now in full pads. I talked to Xavier McKinney.
We locked in, man. You know, personally for me, you know, I got one goal in my mind, and that's to win the championship. So, you know, in order to get that done, obviously you got to win the division. So we just laser focused right now.
That's the Packers safety Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Mostly sunny today with a high right around 90 this afternoon, and it is going to be muggy with a heat index close to the triple digits here later today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, 68. Tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals. So I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Midwest Farm Report team has a full week of excitement as we gear up for the Wisconsin State Fair and soon after Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for following along with us here on the Midwest Farm Report to start your week. Farm Director Pam Yonke is out on farm tour in the Canadian Rockies. She's good about posting photos of her trip, so you're going to want to follow along with her at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook to see that. When the fabulous farm babe is away, the mice do play. It's a pretty light day at work because the farm team is competing in the Wisconsin Soybean Association's Clean Fuels Classic. The golf outing is in Evansville this afternoon. We'll keep you posted on how we do, also on Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. Well, I mentioned we're gearing up for the Wisconsin State Fair, which kicks off Thursday, and Wisconsin Farm Technology Days next week. We've got some excellent previews for both of those events later in the hour. But first, news from the northern end of the world's longest barn on how farm groups are keyed in on making sure agriculture is a priority at the State House as well as D.C. Stick around.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers. The Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Join our friends from Wisconsin Farmers Union in Booth 607 and Midwest Farm Report at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on Wednesday, August 6th at 2 p.m. Wisconsin Farmers Union is united to grow family agriculture. Visit wisconsinfarmersunion.com to learn more.
This year's Farm Technology Days is celebrating generations of progress August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit wifarmtechdays.org for a full schedule of events.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corntraits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
If you're going to have a farm meeting, there's no better place to have it in Wisconsin in the summertime than at beautiful Camp Kenwood on Lake Wissota, home of the Wisconsin Farmers Union Summer Activities. Darren Von Ruden, of course, is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And Darren, the summer conference, you're focusing on the current status of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. You've got the new market on the river. You got a lot of neat things going on.
Yeah, so we're certainly growing at this point in time of the year. Market on the river has been going good. We're looking at trying to fill some more spots in there yet. We've got a few opportunities for folks, so if they want to get into the local foods movement and purchase or lease a spot from us there, give us a call. We're always open for somebody else to look at. The current tenants that we have there are happy with what's going on. They're having good business, and certainly, the crowds continue to come in on a regular basis. So good there. Our second level meeting space is doing good. Our office gets looked at quite a bit, and we're actually, outpacing our second story income for the year because of that space for community events, whether it's weddings, meetings, business meetings, things like that. We're staying busy up there, so that's a good thing. And then the third level is our apartments, and we have one apartment left to fill, but the occupants seem to be happy up there. So everything's looking really good in that aspect. Looking at the state organization, certainly with what's going on at the federal level, not really knowing what's going on with the Farm Bill. We've sent some people to D.C. back in May to talk to our elected officials about let's get a farm bill passed and not something, another version of that. Of course, with the Big Beautiful Bill and that language that was in there, a bunch of the commodity titles got taken care of in that for expenditures for the next 10 years. And so right now, what we're really looking at is probably what they're talking about in D.C. anyway is just a skinny bill, farm bill, being passed probably sometime before the bill needs to be extended. There's big question marks about that, too, because there's so little that's left. Do they actually even need to do a skinny farm bill this year?
And I think people would be nervous about that. We're going to talk about that. But also the Wisconsin Farmers Union and other farmers unions involved in farmers union industries, which provides some income, and I would assume a pretty nice amount of income. What's the status of that in Wisconsin's involvement in farmers union industries?
Yeah, so as a 20% ownership in Farmers Union Industries, Wisconsin Farmers Union gets 20% of that income on a yearly basis, is providing they're having an income. And we've been on a pretty good streak here now lately, so our income source is pretty good through that. But their businesses are all making profits on a monthly basis so far this year, so things are looking good.
I don't think a lot of people realize what kind of industries are involved in Farmers Union Industries. Talk about what's involved. What kind of companies are under that umbrella?
Sure. So, yeah, there's five divisions within Farmers Union Industries. Looking at our hog processing facilities that we have in Estherville, Iowa, where we have the cut floor and then our rendering facilities right next door to take care of the offal from that. We have Central Buy, which is three different facilities that process and render offal from chickens, turkeys, beef, pork. With that, we provide a protein source for not only animals, but chicken and turkeys, too. We've got a really good partnership with Genio throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin to process their turkey feathers and offal there. Artex is a manure spreader building operation. We also are doing some different things there. That facility is actually, when we first bought it, was just building trailers for the transportation of the offal from processing facilities to our rendering facilities. But we built enough that we don't need them. It sounds like in the next year we're probably going to have to build a half a dozen or a dozen trailers again to replace some of those that are getting old and outdated or mm-hmm. just wore out. And then Performance Pet Products in South Dakota is a pet processing facilities. We run about 30,000 cans per minute through that right now and supply a lot of product to, you know, the pets that are in our houses, cats, dogs, and everything in between. And, you know, that market's been something that's slowly building. And, you know, labor issues, probably the biggest one there. We probably could do more than what we are, but we can't get enough employees to run a second shift there based in the facilities where we're at there. But, you know, it's good to have that problem of needing more coming out of facilities. Kind of makes your future look a little bit brighter that way.
It really does. Well, let's talk about the one big beautiful bill. It's passed now. What kind of a message, as you study this and talk to your farmers about the good side of it and the side you're a little bit more concerned about as far as agriculture?
Yeah, certainly, you know, on the good side, as commodity farmers, corn, soybeans, sugar, you know, cotton, those farmers are going to do pretty good off of it because there's more money put in into those programs, whether it's raising price stabilization or making sure that there's insurance premiums there. Those farmers are going to do pretty good, but if you're a small independent vegetable grower or you know, a CSA type farmer, farmers market farmer, you're not going to do really well under it because all those programs have been cut. And so it's really frustrating that, you know, our federal government picked winners and losers in this process. You know, the farmers market, CSA farmers, local foods farmers, you know, they have a direct impact in that community. And when you're looking at some of the largest farms that are taking part in the commodity markets, those farmers might not even be in those local communities. So all that money leaves. And for the federal government to say no to local communities really is a disturbing fact.
What about rural health care, rural hospitals? How do they come out in this bill?
Yeah, so, you know, there's different opinions on that. From what I'm understanding, you know, they're gonna be hurt. Certainly, as you're looking into more of the large areas, certainly in Wisconsin, we've got some rural communities that are going to be affected by that because the dollars aren't going to come there. But if they have the right connections, they'll be all right, which doesn't make sense neither, because a hospital is a hospital, and each one of them should be have the same advantage to take care of patients. And when you start picking winners and losers, it's probably going to affect hospitals throughout the rural parts of the country.
As we look from a 30,000-foot view of this, as far as, again, agriculture is concerned, so many provisions for agriculture were put in as far as the SNAP program, reference prices, and all those sorts of things. Does it make you nervous that agriculture may really lose a presence in Washington, and with legislation, this farm bill might just be rolled into other legislation? And if that can happen, what do you see the effect on production agriculture in this country if you lose your footprint?
Yeah, you know, losing that footprint's big. You know, that's been our main concern for decades already, is trying to keep food together. And when you're a producer of food or an eater of food, you should be together. And this bill is really separating that to a point where I don't know that we can get it back. Only time will tell with that. You know, elections are elections, and elections should have consequences. And certainly looking at this process here now, we need to change that to make sure that we keep food and together. And the nutrition title, you know, looking at those cuts right now, the latest USDA numbers are 15 cents of every dollar that's spent on the SNAP program goes directly back to the farmer's pocket. So when you're cutting $320 billion over the next 10 years, how many billions of dollars is being pulled out of farmers' pockets directly? And then when you look at that food that's not going through that, gets backed up in the system, that lowers the farmers' prices. So we're probably actually going to be losing 20 to 25 cents for every one of those dollars that's not being spent on SNAP.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, who also told us he's still not sure when we will get a new farm bill, but whenever that happens, it'll contain a lot less than previous farm bills. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food,
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Teams golfing in the Wisconsin Soybean Association golf outing today, so please tell me that that spotty rain isn't going to continue.
Oh, have no fear about the rain, Stephanie. Are you ready for the heat?
No.
No, why not? Oh, my goodness. Golfing today. Let's see. There's a heat advisory in all of southern Wisconsin. Draw the line from La Crosse and circle it up to Green Bay. There's a heat advisory south of that line today from noon until 8 p.m. for most in the northeast Green Bay and the southern part of the North Peninsula, that area. It expires at 7 p.m. tonight. Nonetheless, a heat advisory, the feels like the heat index, that's going to push well up into the 90s and maybe even around 100. You know, the heat and humidity working together is going to make it feel really, really hot out there today. Yes, there is some rain crossing into southwest and south central Wisconsin. That's not going to be around for all that long, another hour or more, not adding up to much of anything. I have no new rainfall reports from that area yet this morning, so not a whole lot happening. But low pressure is trying to strengthen out to the west, pulling a weak front in. That's why we have that rain from southwest Wisconsin, northwest Iowa, back, northwest Illinois, back into Iowa. We're going to watch almost that same area late tonight, maybe early tomorrow, southern Minnesota, northeast Iowa, maybe just into southwest Wisconsin, where some localized heavier rain could become a possibility. I think for most of us, we're expecting there'll be some shower development, and that happens a little later tonight, into the day Tuesday, maybe lingering into really early Wednesday in southern Wisconsin. For most of us, a quarter, maybe a half inch of rain. That's about all we're going to talk about, and that would be tonight into Tuesday. And then we'll start to cool down. The heat and humidity we have today stays kind of sticky yet into Tuesday, but a cool front clears through and winds out of the north. Then by Tuesday night and into Wednesday, we'll bring in a cooler, less humid air mass, upper 70s for a lot that's below normal for daytime highs. And that's what I expect we finally see by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, a little warmer into the weekend, but it does look drier as we head on toward the later part of this week. I'll have forecast details after this.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Well, Stu, I promise we will be prioritizing drinking water. We are taking carts, so we'll take it easy, and we'll make sure we got hats on or something to keep the sun off of our faces. But yeah, that heat advisory, not looking forward to that again after how hot it was even yesterday. Happy to hear that it's going to cool off midweek.
Yeah, we have that to look forward to, but the heat advisory in effect today, noon until 8 p.m. That's La Crosse to Green Bay, well, the Green Bay area till 7 p.m., but hot and sticky today. A little morning rain in the south that will end. And otherwise, I expect we're talking about sunshine, maybe a little patchy fog this morning. Daytime temps, very upper 80s in the far north, low 90s in the south. And the south winds around 5 become a bit variable. Partly cloudy, that chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm developing late tonight. We hold on in the upper 60s and low 70s with a southwest breeze. Partly sunny on Tuesday, very scattered showers or storms, still in the upper 80s. And by Wednesday, then, finally we start to get a little more comfortable. A slight rain chance early, partly sunny, upper 70s for highs Wednesday, Stephanie. A whole lot more comfortable and drier to the end of the week.
We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Thanks, Stu. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Just visit compeer.com.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of the Todd Alba Show, where he's joined by James Small.
Happy and proud and honored to have James Small, the Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager at the UW School of Medicine and Rural Health. James, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me on today.
Let's talk a little bit about this workforce more, because you're much more, obviously much more versed in this than I am. I know a few years back, like a good friend of mine, Troy Everson, which was integral in the Viroqua and Vernon County EMS and EMT system. He now does that down in Burlington, Wisconsin. And I know he helped get through a piece of legislation years ago where high school students that were taking courses to be volunteers were allowed to actually help and actually do some of the stuff as long as they were with a licensed person on the team. And that really opened up and not just created more workforce, but also almost like an apprentice type of training. Have you seen that have an effect?
Yes, you're seeing in a number of different regions around the state, the technical colleges are running what they call a dual enrollment program, where high school seniors will come in and learn a trade. And one of those programs might be fire and EMS. There's been a high demand for that. I've seen the technical college systems be very successful with that. There's also some high schools that have partnered with other training centers to offer EMT training right in the schools.
Wow.
And La Follette School of Public Policy just did an EMS-related report that came out in the last couple of weeks, and one of their key recommendations was expansion of the high school EMS programs to provide somebody access to a workforce. Because those kids that are going through those programs right now are going to find a job pretty quickly after coming out of it.
And good paying with good benefits generally.
Yes. Yep. This is going to be a job that probably has a living wage with good benefits working for a government right out of high school, potentially in some cases.
Yeah.
And then continue on with further training like paramedic training and so on. But it's I think that's one tool that we need to look at. But just access to training in general. You know, when we did our ambulance reliability study a couple years ago, one of the things that we found is about 13% of the services had an hour or more drive to a training center. Well, that's a huge barrier. If you're depending on volunteers to come in and they're going to work their regular job all day, drive an hour to training, spend 4 hours in training, drive an hour home, and then go back to their job the next day, their real job, and then they're going to do that 50 times. And that's a lot to ask of somebody who wants to come in and volunteer. So finding other access points is going to be, or alternative ways to delivering that training is something we need to do.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
It's the Cubs and the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Cubs and the Brewers come into tonight's game at AmFam Field, tied for first place in the division. On the mound for Chicago, lefty Matthew Boyd against the Miz, 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski, Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff.
This kid throws 102. Like, if I was him, I wouldn't be scared of nothing. You know, he deserves a lot of the hype he's getting because, I mean, he's just, you don't see pitchers like him. I think he's not going to approach it any different than any other game. He's getting ready for the Cubs, and yeah, he's been thrown into these atmospheres a little bit. He just goes about his day like any other day, and he'll be ready.
NFL Packers training camp, players now in full pads. I talked to Xavier McKinney.
We locked in, man. You know, personally for me, you know, I got one goal in my mind, and that's to win the championship. So, you know, in order to get that done, obviously you got to win the division. So we just laser focused right now.
That's the Packers safety Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids.
Mostly each sunny today with a high right around 90 this afternoon, and it is going to be muggy with a heat index close to the triple digits here later today. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, 68. Tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where he's joined by Hans Breitenmauser.
There were at least a couple of rural sheriffs that were passing emails back and forth about not necessarily cooperating any further with ICE, seeing how things were being handled. And really, Hans, I mean, it's about going after brown people first and foremost. Yes. But in Trump's case, he's like, well, as long as we're going after brown people in the blue areas, the white people in the red areas who need the brown people to make money are going to be okay. That sums up Donald Trump in a nutshell.
Well, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of where we're at. And obviously, all these things are more complicated than we'd like them to be. But that's reality. That's what it means to be a grown-up. Things are complicated sometimes. And what I can say is that the dairy industry falls completely apart in the state of Wisconsin without foreign born employees. We need a mechanism by which we can have people from other countries coming in and doing jobs in this country. Otherwise, the economy just doesn't work. Any economist worth their salt will tell you that. This isn't, economics needing a PhD. This is simple math. And so anybody that can't see past the idea that we're simply demonizing a group of people and scapegoating them, they're simply kidding themselves. And I'm willing to forgive people for that, but I have a hard time forgiving policymakers for that, because by God, they should know better.
Yeah, my response to that is, when it comes to racial politics and Donald Trump and the MAGA wing, sometimes things really are as simple as they might seem. But that's my whole two cents on it. I got just over a minute left and wanted to ask you in general about June Dairy Month. There have been activities that are going on. And I always worry that as the years go by and as more of these factory farms come in and people start taking things for granted, do you still feel like all these June Dairy Month activities, they make a dent, they help folks around Wisconsin appreciate what's going on? Or are you more concerned that maybe it's not, you know, what it used to be?
Well, I don't think it's what it's used to be. You know, it's hard not to be nostalgic for the days when there were 13 dairy farms on my road, and now there's only three of us left. The dairy industry has changed a great deal, but I do feel like the June Dairy events are well received and well attended, and they go to some very nice farms, some large and some small. And it does help the public appreciate, you know, what the dairy industry contributes to the state economy, and helps educate non-farmers on what happens on real farms. And I getting back to the earlier conversation, I hope that as we go forward, part of that conversation is the fact that there's brown people that work on those farms as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
In 1994 to hire the best legal team in the history ever put, you know, assembled.
Welcome back on a Monday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. She's out on her farm tour through the Canadian Rockies. For those of you who tune in while I'm in the big chair, you know that I like seeing the activities that are best for the to-do list, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. For Monday, July 28th, according to the night sky, it's going to be a good day to see the dentist. Sorry for all of you who don't enjoy going to the dentist. It's also a good day to pick fruit. If you've got anything ready, raspberries, blueberries, and watermelon are on that list here in Wisconsin. And finally, the Old Farmer's Almanac says it's a good day to harvest crops. The latest crop progress report says nearly a quarter of winter wheat has been harvested across the state. Well, I promised a Wisconsin State Fair preview, and today our own Ben Jarbo is delivering it for us. If you're a cream puff fanatic, or you just enjoy the tradition of that original cream puff at the fair, this one's for you.
For 101 years, one treat has been the staple for the Wisconsin State Fair, the cream puff. Now new advancements will allow them to make more of these sweet treats than ever before. And Lisa Immel, the chief programs officer for the fair, is a bit of an expert on this magnificent dessert. She's here to give an inside look at how the new bakery will make the sky the limit for the time-honored tradition of the cream puff.
Everybody loves them. We had been doing some evaluating of the efficiencies of the old bakery. The ovens were extremely old. There were all sorts of issues that we could not evolve any further, which now you've seen we have some new flavors out. So that was kind of our pushing, like our motivation to get this new bakery in. With those efficiencies, new ovens were huge for us. The ovens we have right now are state of the art. They're amazing. First puffs came out and they look great. Taste great. I didn't get to taste them, but I'm sure they will taste absolutely phenomenal. But it wasn't just that. It was the slicers and the dusting and the packaging and all sorts of things that we really looked at the ebb and flow of the process of the cream puff. And I think we landed in a great spot that's going to allow us to push out these flavors and, you know, just really make a high-quality product that everyone's going to continue to love for years.
And during the speech this morning, there was a bit of a goal to sell more than usual. How many more do you want to sell, and how does that compare to what has been in the past?
So, you know, 400,000 is our average, so we like to stay there for sure, and we thought we were at our ceiling at that point with the bakery we were in. I mean, our goal is to never stop selling, right? So the scale never ends. But with the new flavors, we're hoping we can add some new people who maybe the original was great, but, you know, now they're going to start to love the chocolate, the strawberry, you know, so just buy more, more, more is our goal.
And you're saying the chocolate and strawberry, the new flavors, what are the ones that are kind of in the works? Maybe if you can give a slight hint so people know, even for the future, and what are all the ones that you're going to have this year?
I'd love to give you hints, but all I'm going to say is the potential of any flavor is on the table at this point in time. You know, we do dabble with Harvest Fair and those types of other events where we can try out some different flavors. But for right now, we are chocolate, strawberry, original. And I can't wait to see what the bakers come up with as far as, again, the world is their oyster.
And say someone listening, this is their first time coming to the state fair. What should they expect out of the cream puffs and really just the building itself, and how can they go about buying the cream puffs?
So if this is your first time here, you know, you're just going to notice you're in a state-of-the-art building. It's beautiful. You will also see an education display. We brought egg education to this end of the fairgrounds with our cream puff, cow to cream puff from the State Fair Dairy Promo Group. So that'll be fun and exciting in the building. We also have opportunities for you to get them on your way out. We want you to grab them on the way. So we have three different to-go locations on the south, middle, and north end of the grounds. So you really can't miss them.
And what are the packaging options? Are there packs of three and then dozens? Or how does that work for people that may want to grab a ton?
Yeah, it's actually kind of exciting. We also have a new package this year. So instead of carrying your six-pack in a horizontal way, you can actually carry them in a portrait way in a new carrier, which we think is going to be super great for those who are also carrying kids and other things that they have to take with them, all their other purchases. But you can get them in a three-pack, six-pack. You can get singles, but that is only in the dairy building.
If someone is unable to make it to the State Fair, are they still able to get the cream puffs?
Absolutely. So we do have a delivery that goes Monday through Friday down in our north lots. All that information you can find online. And we'd love for everybody to come on down. Even if you can't get into the fairgrounds, you have the opportunity to grab your cream puffs out of that north lot.
Is there any other information that you'd like to share about this new cream puffery?
I think it's going to just be really exciting for you guys to witness a different process, same process, different order, and really get to see it made along the way. And then, like I said, that egg education portion of things is going to be excellent for everybody to learn from cow to cream puff.
She needs your help in making this year the best cream puff year ever in the history of the Wisconsin State Fair. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Thank you, Ben. And I don't think eating cream puffs is going to be much of a challenge for anyone at the Wisconsin State Fair. It kicks off July 31st in West Dallas, and those best 11 days of summer will wrap up August 10th. Stick around. We'll take a look at markets next.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield. That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
On a Monday morning, grain markets are moving in one direction, fluid milk in another. From Chicago, cash corn is 3¾ cents lower at 395¾. December new crop corn also down 3¾ at 415¼. Cash beans are down 8 cents at 990¾. November new crop beans down 7½ at 1013½. And new crop wheat is trading $0.05¼ lower at 533 a bushel. But as I said, fluid milk moving in the other direction. The August class 3 milk contract is up 30 cents, trading at $17.53 a hundredweight. The September contract up 22 cents at $17.77. The Fabulous Farm Babe introduces us to the host family for Wisconsin Farm Technology Days next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapa way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Strangers to this show. In fact, Clinton Farms now hosting for the third time the state's largest outdoor agriculture event. Jim and Sue Clinton, along with their daughter, Carrie Greipentrog, and son, Brad Clinton, will act as your hosts. And it is a family tradition. For a long time, the Clinton family has been a fan of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days and the technology that it brought to production agriculture and farmers' eyes. I talked about it with Jim Clinton and asked him to tell me why they decided the third time around could be the charm.
The show actually, I think, started in 1954 as a plowing contest, and then the 25th anniversary, Waupaca County wanted to host it, and they had different farms put in for it, and they selected our farm because of our roads and everything else. And my mom and dad, they were excited about it, and I was on the farm. I was 22 years old at that time. But we had 120,000 people, we figured that, because there was a lot more farms back then. We had about 2 inches of rain the first night of the show, and we were pulling cars in and out. That's one thing I really remember about that show. They were very excited about it, and they were happy when me and my wife Sue took it over, and in 2003 we wanted to have it again, and they were right behind us. You know, they were in the show just like we were. But anyhow, we're coming the third time now around. We wanted to do it the 75th, which would have been 2028, but they approached us. They had no farm, and they wanted to get on a farm again, so it was up to my kids if they wanted to do it, and they were more than happy to do it, so I backed them too. So
you mentioned about the crowd size being different that first time around. Tell me about the farm itself. What did it look like when it hosted the first time?
Well, we had a stall barn back then, and we had 100 cows, and we had silos, and all the demonstrations were like filling the silos and that. In 1998, we built a flat barn parlor. We built our first freestall barn. And then we were milking 200 cows in 1998. But then in 2003, we were still in the flat barn parlor, and we were milking probably about 250 to 300 cows. And then, everything's changed, the machinery, the technology, all that stuff. It's changed so much over the years. And try to stay with with the stuff, you know, that goes on. Yeah. And then 2018 we built our major expansion we did, and then we were milking 500 cows, but now we bumped up to, I think, we're milking 850 now.
Sure,
so
sure.
We haven't bought a animal on the farm since 1998.
Really?
So everything was raised in kind there.
Wow. Now what about crop acres? You grow the herd, usually you grow the crop acres.
Yes, we probably in 1978, I think we were farming like 400 acres, and then we in 2003, we were probably around 2,000 acres, and now with the land being, everybody wants more and more land, but we're probably about 2,400 right now we are.
You know, and I was thinking about what used to grow here versus what grows here. I mean, there was a time when some of your acres, if I recall, were dedicated to sauerkraut production.
Yes, we had, for 36 years, we grew sauerkraut cabbage, and we had our own harvesters and planters, and we started that in 1976, I believe.
Yeah.
And then it just got to be so much afterwards that we kind of phased out of it. But, yeah, we... At one time, we had 400 and some acres of cabbage in one year, you know, but normally we grew about 250 acres of cabbage, which goes to the sauerkraut, which is little town of Bear Creek, has the world's largest sauerkraut factory.
Yes. Now, did you, when I talk about diversity, that's just one that pops to mind from growing up around here. What else does the rotation look like, Jim? I mean, like I said, when you're feeding cows, you like to change things up once in a while.
Yeah, we have... corn, we got majority of acres of corn, and then alfalfa, we got 700 acres of alfalfa, and then we have winter wheat in this year. We normally plant soybeans, but we didn't plant any soybeans this year, because we got to dedicate more acres to the cows now, because we're getting an increase in cows. But yeah, cabbage was a great rotating crop. I mean, it was a good, for a money maker for us. So it was a diversified crop, and now we always raise all of our steers, and that we finished them out years ago, but now I've been selling them as feeders. So that's I guess our rotation, kind of that's what we are right now.
Now, we mentioned that next generation has already engaged your son and daughter. What do they have in mind as far as the message they want people to take from the show, or maybe something that they're already planning for the future?
Well, I guess that's something maybe you have to ask them, but we always are excited to show the latest technology that we have on the farm and how well we take care of our animals, and I think every farmer is the same. They want to show how they take care of all the animals in their farm, and we're excited to show our facilities to the public.
Again, like we said, Jim and Sue are part of the generational story here at Clinton Farms. Got to ask you about the neighborhood now, though, Jim. When you were 22 years old and kind of getting excited about this, we said over 100,000 people that attended. Tell me a little bit about how the neighborhood looks today, some of the changes that you've witnessed living here on the farm.
Well, in 1978, there was a farm. Every house out here, there was a farm. And now there's very few barns left anymore. And but the neighbor, we have a very nice neighborhood here, and our people are supportive of our show. And I mean, every farm back then was 80 acres or 120 acres, and that's why we had so many people in 1978. You know, now we hope to get 40,000 people to this show, you know.
Right, right. Are you seeing some of the same faces that you've seen for the past number of years still stepping up to help at the show?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of the people are retired now, and, of course, they don't want to work, you know, the full day, you know, which is fine. They can, but, yeah, I think she's having a okay time getting volunteers, hopefully by the time the show gets here, a lot of more people will step up.
Right. Now, we always emphasize the education side of things. Tell me a little bit about some of the educational items about the farm that you hope people slow down and take in. You walk past it every day. You see it every day. Some of the folks like me that are in agriculture, but for those folks that are coming from someplace like New London that may not know about agriculture, what do you hope that they slow down and pay attention to?
Well, you know, the cows or calves or whatever we have, they have to eat, and the way we feed them or whatever, and we try to keep them dry and clean as much as we can, and how well the animals are taken care of, you know, and that people, the public, actually can see, you know, and how we feed them, you know, if there's TMR mixers now or whatever we feed, and how the cows are milked, and, you know, they'll our new facility, our rotary have, and so... They can see what it, maybe remember what it used to be a lot of years ago, because Pointer, everybody was grew up on a farm at one time. So it's, I'm sure it's a lot different than years ago.
They are all in. That's Jim Clinton, one of the host family members, getting ready for Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th in Bear Creek. Now, listen, the show hours are going to be daily from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. The general admission ticket, $15 per adult. You can buy those in advance. Just pop on over to WIFarmTechnologyDays.com, and you'll find the details there, as well as individual breakouts on field demonstrations, tent city, and more. We'll see you there. Clinton Farms, the host of the 2025 Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th in Bear Creek. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
An effort to overrule the passage of an animal rights victory today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Iowa Congresswoman Ashley Hinson has introduced what she calls the Save Our Bacon Act. If passed by Congress, it would prevent states from enacting standards for animal producers outside of their state. Bill co-sponsor Zach Nunn, also from Iowa, says it targets measures like California's Proposition 12.
This is not a war against the people of California. This is a clarification of a bad policy. Right now, our farmers are facing the toughest economy in decades, and the last thing they need is more red tape, not from Washington, D.C., but from the left coast 2,000 miles away. These regulations aren't just affecting Iowa farmers either. Proposition 12 has had a tangible impact on consumers across the country.
Another co-sponsor is Congressman Mark Harris of North Carolina.
The language here really does strike the right balance of giving states free rein to act within their own borders, but ensuring that they don't set mandates for the other 49. As a conservative, I'm typically partial to states' rights arguments, but the Constitution is clear that there are several instances where the federal government must act. And in this situation, as we continue to hear just the damage and the dangers that come with Prop 12, this may very well be that time.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio.
Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had 6 times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva-Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI. Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Got every quality from A all the way to Z. It's easy to see she's the perfect girl. She's got every single thing that makes up my wildest dreams. Sometimes I still can't quite believe she's holding me, 'cause she got it all.